Good morning, almost afternoon. I have no financial, relevant financial relationship to disclose. And I want to ask the audience here, Dr. Chaudhry did a wonderful presentation. I feel like a tag team here because we are both talking about clinical and translational science awards. And I want to know how many of you work in an institution or a community that has a clinical or translational science award? Okay, about a third of you. Clinical and translational science awards, in case you aren't familiar with them, are large grants that have been given by the National Center for Research Resources, which is a branch of NIH, to academic health science centers that, because NIH saw that the health of the population is really not moving forward. And so the goal of these clinical and translational science awards are to move clinical bench research into clinical practice and clinical research, and then clinical research into community and dissemination and to translate it. So it's really all about moving the research through the research trajectory, really from, you know, basic idea and doing animal models all the way out to how will this improve the health of the population. One essential thing about a clinical and translational science award, as they are created and defined by NIH, is there has to be a community engagement component. Now, generally, the CTSAs have 5 to 8 to maybe even 10 cores or resources or little clusters of people that focus on different areas. But one of the few that's mandated by NIH is community engagement. And I think that's real important for us to know as public health nurses that these organizations, these institutions, have to be involved in the community one way or the other. So what I have been the co-director of the Community Engagement Corps for the CTSA grant at University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, Texas. This summer I moved to Arizona State University, and so Noni Mendias, wave your hand, Noni, she has taken my place at the CTSA in Galveston, so we're kind of tag-teaming this too. So I was just going to give you an example of what our Community Engagement Corps, one example of the work we've done, and it's on environmental health as well, which I thought was pretty cool. But this work has been largely done by my co-director, Sharon Croissant. She was the second author here. So this is basically what I've said. There's about 60 medical institutions that have these ways to move biomedical science along, and they are wonderful, I think, for nurses to get involved with, because a lot of the people that are on these CTSAs don't really understand nursing, or especially public health nursing. Community engagement is, I'm sure we all know this, we practice it, we live it, but it goes from trust, like you said with your group, trust is essential. If you don't have trust with your community partners, you can't do anything. And that goes all the way to long-term commitment. You're not in there to grab some data and run. You create the partnership that just lasts. Okay, so, excuse me. The purpose of our Community Engagement Corps was to provide education on community-based participatory research to our community and to the community partners we worked with to develop the community interface to where we could talk to them about research issues, they could bring research issues to us, we could work together. It has to be bi-directional so that they can come to us and say, you know, we think there's a problem here. You know, can you do some research with it? And then also a practice-based research network, that's something that we're still working on so that practitioners out in the community can feed information and research into the university and it can travel out that way too. Okay. Some of the activities, see, I feel like you've covered CBPR quite well, so you know, I know you probably all are familiar with this. The principles, we'll look at that. I think we've got the same citations, maybe a little bit different, but you know, Minkler and Wallerstein there. CBPR is really the way I think research should be done. When any time you're working outside of one institution, you really need to participate with the community. Okay, so how did we get CBPR training implemented? Basically, we had lectures across the campus for faculty, trainees, students on what community engagement is and how faculty members can engage in community engagement. And we have a lot of work to do. I know Noni's taking it on now because there are so many people that see working from an academic medical center, see community engagement as, oh, yeah, I have a few clinics out there, and you do outreach and get subjects for me, don't you? I'm like, no, that's not community engagement. So we had a workshop, a 2.5-day workshop, and we had Barbara Israel's group from Detroit come all the way down to Galveston and do our training. And we had 73 people who came. They represented 12 community groups. I don't know why that happened. Back. 12 community groups. We had faculty and students from 17 different departments from all four schools on campus. And we really, you know, it was really wonderful training. We had a lot of people come because Galveston's a little island off the coast of Texas, and Houston's about 60 miles up the road. We had people from Galveston, from Houston, the upper Texas coast, all the Beaumont, you know, really all along that area come to our training. And then we've also done training for medical students on topics in public health. Okay, so what's our transformational outcomes? That's how we've reported them to our executive council. We have assisted faculty with writing grants using CBPR. We've developed training modules for the schools of medicine and the schools of health profession that faculty can kind of put into their courses. And we've done CBPR training for two public fora that we were invited to. There's an example. That poster there, that's a poster that I did. That my main community partner is John Cooks. He's on the left. And we presented this at the National CTSA meeting in spring of 2010. And it was so much fun, you know, have all these heavy scientific bench researchers come by and go, oh, what are you doing? You know, we talked about how we built this community partnership together. And we've been working together for, well, a long time before this started, about basically 6 years. Okay, our community interface. We realized that there was really no formal infrastructure to link all the disparate agencies in the county, in our catchment area, with the university. It was almost on an ad hoc, anecdotal, if somebody knew somebody who knew somebody. So we set up these large meetings to bring in as many community agents as we could and get as many faculty there and sort of do a meet and greet, you know, almost a minute dating kind of thing where we could all share our information. Do brainstorming and come up with goals that so that everybody could know what everybody else did and who were the contact people in those areas. And you can see we had 40 attendees, and I think that's been real successful with getting communication going. And another thing is trauma services at the hospital, which is a level 3 trauma. They've used trauma registry data to pull out the ideas that there has been a large number of head injuries from teens or from children not using helmets, and so get an initiative to raise money for helmets and pass those out through the emergency room. Okay, so this just talks about our trauma registry and the last bullet there that we value community and it serves to build trust and improve research. And you can see that they're passing out helmets and, you know, helping people adjust their helmets. And that was based on, you know, mining through data and plus finding out what the community identified as issues. Okay, some more community outcomes. There's an annual report card done on the status of children, which is in basically Galveston Island, about a population of about 60,000, and the biostatistics key resource. We call our cores key resources, and so one of them is biostatistics, and they collaborated with us in community engagement to actually run a lot of data that were being collected and to say, okay, this is the report card of how things are doing. So this is just an example of collaborating between interdisciplinary and departments. The community partners we have, GICRAC stands for Galveston Island Community Research Advisory Committee, which is a grassroots organization of African-American leaders in Galveston who said, we are the gatekeepers for this community. We're tired of the university coming in and sort of doing research on us but not involving us. And so they have established this committee that that is one of our main partners with the CTSA, and they actually receive money from the grant. It flows through to them for them to advance their own projects. And so they've been one of my main community partners for several years. And then Jesse Tree is a social service agency. St. Vincent's House is a social service agency that also has a nurse-managed clinic that the School of Nursing works in. So, you know, some main community partners to basically say, what are the needs? How can we work together? You know, give us some information. Okay, these are our collaborative partners. On the left, you can see we've got a fairly, and these vary from Galveston up to Houston, And then our activities on the right, disaster response. I don't know if you are aware of Hurricane Ike that basically devastated Galveston. And so the community really pulled together on that one. And the, some of the things, other things that we've done there. Okay. And then a major environmental hazard that happened back in the spring of 2010 was the Macondo spill. And this is a deep water horizon disaster. And Dr. Quassant, Sharon Quassant, is an epidemiologist who is focused in environmental health, and she has had long-standing community relations and in deep community engagement with villages or, you know, a little, she calls them fishing villages, all along the Gulf Coast. And so when this, you know, disaster happened and all the water, all the oil started washing up into the water and on the shore, the people's fishing industry was devastated. And so they wanted to know how to respond. And then there was this large money, you know, from BP saying, okay, here's this money. But there was no bridge between BP, you know, the institution, and the community, what they needed. And so she worked with them to set up some responses to that. Okay, the community context, you can see it's pretty devastating there. Fear and anger. It's just been amazing, you know, how it devastated the community. Lots of distrust. I like that one about Tony. I know he was a BP head, so grief and loss. And the coastal erosion, just talking about Louisiana Gulf Coast, how it is losing the wetlands and experiencing, it's changing their fishing way of life as it is. And so then when you put the oil spill on top of it, it makes it so much worse. And so CBPR is really the only way to work with these communities, because they are so upset, they've had so much, you know, bad things happen to them, that unless you get communities to speak for themselves and get involved, you know, it's not going to be good, responsible research. And so this is what Sharon did primarily, the initial town hall meetings to assess the community concerns, then interview partners, you know, key informants, then have face-to-face meetings with 24 community groups in four states, and then to frame research questions and draft specific aims, and then a series of meetings with scientists, clinicians, community groups held in three different states. And their research proposal was submitted, and Noni, that was funded this summer, wasn't it, for several million dollars to help the community partners come up with ways to address these issues for themselves. And they are also doing a lot of epidemiological research, long-term health effects of this oil. It's created a Gulf Coast consortium. And not only locally in Texas, the University of Texas Medical Branch and A&M, but also University of Pennsylvania and Louisiana State University are engaged in this. And so the research projects specifically are cohort studies to assess health effects, exposure assessment, biomonitoring, to look at vulnerability and resilience, and community outreach, education, dissemination. So those are the areas that. So this is all of the people that are participating in that consortium to address, as you can see, there's there's an Indian tribe there, and a lot of different varied partners. And so there's been a lot of transformative outcomes, we feel, that have happened, that we work together within our institution, multidisciplinarily. We work outside in the community that way, and then also interinstitutional that way. So it's been really a catalyst for that kind of work. So take-home messages, key relationships with community groups, translational teams. Those are the scientists inside our university that work across disciplines. And we are getting documented outcomes towards our goals, and we've established mechanisms for process and outcomes assessment.